All right, here we are, 2015. Can you believe it's 2015? When I was 1985 and 1995, I would have never thought we'd have made it to 2015. And then, of course, we have some here that said, well, I wasn't even around in 1985. We don't know what our Lord's plan is as far as exact timing of that, but it is something. I would have never expected that we would have been here if you would have asked me then. But we are, and I'm thankful for it. The Lord's given us the time that He has, the blessings of life. We live in a day, and I invite you to turn your Bibles just here for a couple passages for us to consider. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the day that we live in is described by this, and we don't know when it'll be that our Lord will come back in the rapture for the saints. We know that He will. He will do so. It may be 100 years from now. It may be tonight, but He will come. But we see this, and even as the Apostle Paul writes, Brother Timothy, a young preacher, a young pastor, instructing him about things that he needs to know and doing so well and before his Lord. He writes here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And you don't have to look at the news very much to know that around the globe there are perilous things at hand. I mean, we don't have to go far at all. Did you know, I read an article about, I think it was about some of our Kentucky government leaders, governmental leaders. And, you know, there was a terrorist that was arrested in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And, you know, it's not like it's a long way from here. And because it's a long way from here, he was nabbed by the feds, if I understand right, for activity. Perilous times shall come. Verse 2, 4. Why are the perilous times at hand? Well, you know, the word "for" is a synonym for that word is because. Okay. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." And we get in trouble when we love ourselves rather than loving the Lord. We are to take care of ourselves. Indeed, this life, this body that our Lord has given us, we are to take care of it. But we're to love the Lord first, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. But men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, wanting more and more, boasters, bragging about ability, proud, head up in the ability that we have. You know, our Lord has given us, He's made us in the image and likeness of Him, and so we have ability that's like unto His, in that we can create and we can invent. So we being made in that image and likeness of Him, His glory has been bestowed upon us. Now, don't be mistaken, we're not like Him. But we do have traits that are similar and parallel to Him, if you will, at a lesser power, if you will. Because we can build and create. You know, this is the example that I give. Birds are still living in the same kind of nest that they've been living in since 6,000 years ago or so when they were created. But that's not the case with you and me. We've got some here in our services tonight that remember how housing was so much different than it is in the day that we live now. They remember, Sister Elsie, and maybe others of you here too, remember walls and thankful for a wall and a house that you could see through, and a floor that you could see through. And my parents talk about that some, Clarissa's parents and that. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, that's dangerous ground, blaspheming against the Lord. That's the blasphemy that's being talked about. Disobedient to parents. We have that today, don't we? Father and mother are not honored. and are to be. And then what's another trait? Unthankful and unholy. And so that's how the world is known. And, you know, we, the children of God, we're not to be known that way. The world speaks and the way, the conversation that comes from the lips of the world, and then the conversation that comes from us, the Lord Jesus said it's from our mouth that a man is defiled, not what he eats, but by what comes out of the heart, those things that proceed from the heart, and they come from the mind and the heart, the factory of sin, and what we generate naturally. And the only way that can be helped ultimately is by the salvation of the Lord. And why is that? Well, we don't have that old man in control. We've got the new man, which is of the Lord. And so when the world speaks and then we speak, when the world operates and when we operate, may it not appear the same? If it's the same, are we salty at all? In Hebrews chapter 13, a portion here that we just want to take a look at, read it, and it speaks along this line. Hebrews 13, verse 5, the apostle writing and just closing thoughts. He's kind of rapid fire, several different things. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Our kinship with the Lord is the greatest thing that we have as the children of God. And he's made us a promise. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. So that we may boldly say, verse 6, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And, you know, we need our Lord to tell us that. We need reaffirmed in that. We certainly can become subject to the fear of what men will do to us. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, speaking about pastors that we have in the churches that the Lord has put us in. Since I've been saved, I've been a member of three different churches, and until I came here, I had a pastor and those other two, and I'm glad for the pastors that the Lord blessed me with, and I want to be a pastor to you that the Lord would be pleased with. I want to have a faith that's manifested, that's worth following. And so I need your prayers for me in that. What's it say? Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. But in spite of that, pastor, remember the Lord never changes. Right? He never changes. And he's made a way that we're to follow in all things. Be not carried about with divers or different and strange doctrines. Stick to what the Lord's given us in his word. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, favor from our Lord. You know, the Lord's really impressed upon me in recent times about how we need him to teach us. You know, I look to preach and teach and bring forth the word of God, you know, to you in a right way, a right dividing of it. The brethren that we have that teach and the ladies that teach the children's classes and that, I'm thankful for each one, you know, but we need the Lord to use us. And speak through us and use us, and that the Lord would teach us. Not with meats, be established with grace, not with meats, verse 9, which have not been profited them that have been occupied therein. Don't get off track about what we're to be pursuing. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. And this is a reference to the writing of the whole book. Verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. And he's telling about the way that it worked with the bringing of sacrifices, that the remains of those carcasses were disposed of according to the order and directive of the Lord outside the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, set apart the people. If you're here and you're saved, that's what the Lord's done with you. He set you apart. He set you apart to himself. And just like those bodies were taken out, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And so that's where Calvary was. It was outside the city. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Let us, when we're saved, we give a declaration that the Lord has saved us. We make a public declaration of that. We submit to baptism, and that's a public declaration of the working of the Lord. Salvation's not a saver, it's a teller of what's already happened. And we follow our Lord in that, and to obedience to him, those that are scripturally baptized, truly baptized, not just made wet, but truly baptized with all the things that the Scripture bears out should be, testify that Christ has done this for me. And I am dead to self, sin, and the world, and alive to Christ. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city. This is not home. We're passing through. But we seek one to come. Brother Mark's been teaching about that in the Sunday school class. We look forward to being with our Lord and in glory and all the things that he has prepared for us. It's not pie in the sky. It's for real. It's for real. It's many of the promises our Lord has given us. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thanks to his name. Anything that's good is from the Lord above. And we certainly need to give thanks to his name. So we've set apart this particular service to thank our Lord. And like I said, I think I've collected papers from the ladies. And so if there's any that I've missed, let me know. I'll be glad to get that from you. But we'll have the men tell what they're thankful for, and then I'll read the papers that the ladies have given. So which one of you brethren want to give a first shot at it? Who's game? Who might jump at once? Brother Mark?
Well, many things to be thankful for. It seems like every year is think about the same kind of things. There's important things. There's lots of things that we have, but then you try to narrow it down to what's the important. I mean, there's innumerable the things that we have that we don't even think of. You think of health and everything, how bad some people have it that are really sick, and we're not. We're able to be here tonight. And then you think about it's not accidental that it's that way. He just intended for us to be here today. Now, we could be sick tomorrow, but you've had health all this time. So just be thankful for what we've had up until this point. Health is a big thing. The older you get, the more you think about health, I think. Teenagers and kids don't ever think about health. But the older you get, the more you think about it. I saw a guy today that said, I thought growing old would take longer. And you think about that too, about all the years that you've... We're talking about how old people are, and it just doesn't take that long to get for your life to be gone. I don't want to say gone, but you'd get to the stage of life where if you're in your 60s like me, I never I mean, I used to think, man, if you're 60, that's old. That's really old. It's like Paul said, your life's a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it's gone. It's gone. So praising the Lord and thanking the Lord, like our brother Jim just read, is a good thing. Health is a good thing. Safety, shelter. You talked about these houses that people used to have. I mean, my great grandmother's house, they didn't have running water in it. You had to go to draw water, and you don't think about running water very much unless it's off, and then you do think about it. You don't think about indoor plumbing unless it's not there. I mean, how often have you thought, boy, I'm thankful for this nice warm bathroom? I just can't imagine what people used to do, have to get up and go outside in the cold. And you say, well, that's a minor thing. Yeah, that's just, the older you get, that's pretty major too. It's the comfort things that we have that God gives us, food to eat, transportation. People used to not be able to go very far. They'd have to walk to church or go in a buggy or ride a horse or something like that. I couldn't come from Lebanon to church 100 years ago. It just wouldn't have worked. Although they did travel quite a bit. They used to have these meetings and all that. They would travel all day to get there and such. So I'm thankful we got a way to get here that's more comfortable, and it's so we can do it. It doesn't take all day to get here. We got people coming from Clarksville, Bowling Green, Lebanon, Elkton, all over. You think about your families. Thankful for my family and the ones that went before me, grandparents and parents. Thankful my parents brought me to church and made sure it wasn't a question as if we were going to church. It's when it's time to go, is you rolled out and you went. I just couldn't believe that some people try to decide if you're going today or not. That wasn't a decision at our house. We just went. And I'm glad that that was the case. You say, well, you're just going out of habit. Well, it's a good habit to get into if you can do it. So I thank the Lord for the church that He's put me in and the each member of it. We're not many in number, but we're close. We're closer than we've ever been, probably. Maybe at the very first when the church started, they were probably this close. But whenever there's things that happen that draw us closer together. Family, let's see, I was talking about family, wasn't I? Of course, I'm glad God gave me my wife, and perfect match for me. I was glad of that. Thankful for two fine sons. Proud of both of them. Both of their married Baptist preacher's eldest daughter. That worked out good too. Now 9 grandchildren so far. Glad for them. Thank the Lord for them. Good thing we're doing this today instead of Sunday, because I've had several of them on Friday and myself. I don't know about that. You're glad they can go home. But it's good. It's good to see your grandchildren. Your great grandchildren. I haven't had any great grandchildren yet, but you can just imagine what that would be. Glad for my the spiritual blessings God's given me of salvation. There's nothing that I've got that's more important than that. Without Him intervening and bringing the gospel to me and drawing me and saving me, I couldn't have. There's nothing. The rest of it wouldn't have mattered. It'd have been for nothing. The people live their whole lives and without that, and think they're successful, and then at the end, they've lost it all.
Right.
So I'm glad of that. Glad of that. And then future-wise, I'm glad that Brother Jim talking about heaven. I'm glad that that's a real place, and thankful that I'll be going there and see all there is to see there and do all there is to do there. We've been talking about that on, if there's stuff to eat and drink, I'm going to eat and drink it. along with the rest that's there.
Amen.
And you say, well, how can you be thankful for that? You're not even, you don't even know if that's real, or if it's, what if that's not real? Nah, that's not, that's the human talking in you that right there thinking about that. That is real, because he said it was real. Amen. It's in the Bible that it's real. So, God's been merciful. He's been kind. That's just a small piece of what I could be thankful for. Just the air that you breathe. You've not been able to breathe, you'll be thankful for the air. I've always been able to breathe. But if you can't breathe, it's difficult. And so some of you may have had that. Simple things like walking, breathing, sitting down, standing up, those type of things. You take them for granted. I take them for granted. We read just a couple of verses from Psalms 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. Isn't that the truth? And the truth of the Lord endureth or lasts forever. Praise ye the Lord.
Yeah, Brother Mark, talking about that age thing, I realized a handful of years ago about how it is with your parents. At least it was with me, with my parents, having moved away from them when I was 20, and then visiting over the course, you know, driving back to visit with them over the course of 30 years, and how it is you get. It was for me. I got snapshots in my mind of how my parents looked, and so I had a snapshot of my dad, or probably at around 40, and mom and dad both, and then another snapshot of my dad around 50, and then I went home to visit them one day, and then there's dad at 75. I said, you know, he's got old, and it's kind of something, and so now. Here I am at one of those snapshots that I used to think about him. Another thing was, too, that I thought about is here I am at 50, and that was the age that Cecil was when I started sneaking around. Well, not sneaking around, but snooping around at his house. All right, we got a card in the mail here. I'll go ahead and read this. You can see if you can tell me who it's from. I am thankful that the Lord has given me so many things to be thankful for. I am thankful for good health, family, church, family, friends, salvation, and the Lord that loves me. I am thankful He is in control and knows His whole plan for this world, so I don't have to worry. I am thankful for the great time I have enjoyed with friends and family on my trip, but I am really thankful that when I come home, y'all will be glad to see me. That's from Hugs to All, Love and Miss You All Very Much, Miranda. The card says, across the miles on Thanksgiving, even though we're far apart in miles, in Jesus we remain ever close. And for this, Thanksgiving fills the heart. Happy Thanksgiving. A passage here, the Lord has done great things for us, Psalm 126:3. So, yeah, so Miranda's still thinking about us. So that's good. All right, one of the other ladies writes, I am thankful for my family, for my church family, for Jesus, my Savior, who saved me, for my pastor and his family, and for my pets, the roof over my head, a van to drive, for food to eat and clothes to wear, for my Lord, who takes care of me in every way also, who takes care of my children, for helping me financially, for being with my health and families, lives and health, for my marriage to my late husband, also helping me to help others. And amen, amen, that's good. We'll read another one here. I'm thankful for Jesus who became my sin, 1 Corinthians 5:21. I am thankful to God for my great salvation, Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I am thankful for my church family, Ephesians 5:25, whom Christ loved and gave himself for. I am thankful for my pastor, who is worthy of double honor, 1 Timothy 5:17, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. I am thankful to God for the institution of marriage and my husband of 43 years, Mark 10:6 through 9. I am thankful to God for the institution of family, my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, brothers and sisters, Genesis 1:27 and 28. I am thankful to God for peace, Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. I am thankful to God for spiritual blessings, repentance, prayer, love, faith, 1 Corinthians 14:1 and 12. I am thankful to God for his chastening love, Hebrews 12:6 through 7. I am thankful for the Holy Spirit of promise, the earnest of my inheritance, Ephesians 1:13, 14. I am thankful to God for his great and precious promises to me, 2 Peter 1, 4. I am thankful to God for my eternal promised inheritance that's been reserved and incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, 1 Peter 1, 4, Hebrews 9, 15. That's how we know the promises of our Lord, is to know the promises of our Lord. Amen? Amen. And so, if you don't know those passages, you need to look them up. All right, here we go. I'll read one more here. I'm so thankful for all the many blessings God has given me. This year he brought two new grandsons. He has continued to bless with good health. I'm thankful for my salvation and the desire to study his word. I'm thankful for my family and my church family. The Lord has been so good. I'm thankful for our Christian heritage in this nation, how God has led his people through the ages, and I pray we will be strong and stand in our time. Amen. All right. Good to have Brother Shane and Sister Dawn with us. Brother Shane, would you like to say something?
Well, the brother asked me earlier if I wanted to say something. Can't say as I really had anything prepared, but I'm thankful. So briefly, I can just go over a few things that I'm thankful for. First of all, I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful that God loved me enough to die on the cross for my sins. And I'm thankful that he chose me to save. I was saved here in this very building in 1968. And to look around right now, I only see two people that were here that night. That's my mother and my brother. But that was an amazing night. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I'm also thankful that God is in control. I'm thankful that I know that he created this earth and that he is in control from the beginning to the end. Because everybody knows what a mess the world's in right now. And he knows that. He puts people up. He can bring them down. And if we didn't have that to depend on, it would be easy to go crazy. It'd be easy to worry yourself to death. And it's a blessing to know that God is there and taking care of things. And that one day we'll be in heaven with him. We have that promise. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my family, for my wife that he's given me. I'm very thankful for my mother that has loved me all my life and has been concerned with my physical and spiritual well-being. I couldn't have asked for a better mother. I'm very thankful for her, and I'm thankful for how God has blessed her and kept her healthy. I'm thankful for my brother and his family, my children, my grandchildren. And I'm thankful for this church. I have a great respect for you all hanging in there the way you have and depending on the Lord, because he continues to bless. Like Mark said, your numbers are small, but he's here in the midst of you. If there's one or two, he's in the midst of you. And I pray for you all the time, and I hope that you'll keep on keeping on, and everybody do what we're supposed to do till he gets here. So God bless you. I love you, and I'm thankful for you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Shane. All right. One of the ladies writes, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Psalm 1, verses 4 and 5. For the Lord is good. As the psalmist penned thousands of years before, so it is true today. Reminders that still apply. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Blessings too immeasurable to number, but these have been on my heart and mind. I am thankful for my salvation and the one that came to pay a debt I could not. For my church family and the unity we have. I'm thankful for my husband who provides for our family and whose desire is to serve the Lord. For our children and family, our health and material blessings above what we ask or think. I'm thankful for friends in the faith and for the bond we have in Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll read another one here. All right. To whom it may concern, the following is not in order of importance. However, these are just a few things I am thankful to my God for. Not even the tip of the iceberg, though. First, no offense to Brother Jim, but I am very thankful to be a part of the answered prayer from God of the new roof. You know, that's just going to stick. It's just going to stick, so just get comfortable with it. And that's fine. I'm good with it. You know, I've been saying it that way since I left Appalachia, you know. That's the way we would joke and say Appalachia. I know how to say it, okay? I'm thankful for the many valleys and mountaintops God has led me and my husband through, and for the kindness, gentleness, and mercy we have been shown, heartaches and all. I'm thankful for lessons of life. I'm thankful for lessons of life. Example, keep ears open and mouth shut for one. I'm thankful that God did spare Kate's life and that someday he will save her soul. I know he will because I ask him to. Nathan, too. I'm thankful for all the support and care shown from the church when my husband is sick or hurting, surgery. I'm thankful for the glimpses and small revelation in God's hidden treasures that he lets me peek at here and there. He is truly awesome. If I got too much at once, I don't think my thinker could handle it. The past year has been wonderful, just witnessing God's plan in each of our lives unfolding and playing out. If you don't tune in and pay attention, you're going to miss something. So be still and watch, because he works in and through all of us, sometimes in small ways and some in huge ways, but he is working. Can't wait to see what's going to happen next year. I'm also thankful for the men and women that serve this country so we can enjoy liberty and freedom, and the law enforcement officers who do risk their lives daily to keep the peace and us safe. I dread the thought of what it would be like without them. And mostly for Jesus, my church family, pastor and his family, praise God. Amen. All right, brethren, who wants to? Who wants it? All right, here comes Stephen.
Can I just write one next year? I always get up here and just... I know, I just feel like I'm rambling around the whole time. But we do. It's good to take the time to be thankful. I think this is a good thing for us to do as a church and as members of the church. We're talking about looking at the news and the problems with the society, and you see the people, many people in our nation, and they're unthankful, unholy, and there's a word for that spirit that people use, entitlement. People have a sense of entitlement, and I actually saw something good on Facebook the other day. You know, most of the time it's just junk, but this was a good quote. It said that gratitude and entitlement cannot coexist in the same heart. Gratitude and entitlement cannot coexist in the same heart. That's why we need to be thankful, so we don't have the spirit of entitlement. That's the problem with that spirit. They're not thankful for anything. They think everything's owed them, that they just deserve, and they deserve everything they have and more. But what does the Bible tell us? What's the truth? We don't deserve anything. The only thing that we have truly deserved is hell.
Amen.
Anything more than that, that's a gift. So I'm thankful for we all say it, there's just too many things to be thankful for. You couldn't name them all. And too many things to even understand. We're just, our minds are too dull to even think of all that God has done for us all the time. He's doing for us all the time. We don't even see it. We're always taking things for granted. We shouldn't do that. To as much that we can, we need to be thankful for the things He's given to us. I'm thankful for the Lord's provided for me and for my family, for a job to be able to do. And I thank the Lord for enabling me to do a job. And we're reading with the boys over in Exodus when they were building the tabernacle, and the Lord talked about those that they were going to get to build the altar and the different parts of the tabernacle, and He talks about them, and He says that the Lord gave this particular man by name the spirit of wisdom in this particular work to be able to do that work, and He gave this other one the spirit of wisdom in this other work just to be able to do that. I think that's what He does to us.
Yeah.
Us being able to do whatever occupation you have or job, whatever way you're able to provide for your family, that comes from God. And it's His wisdom that He's giving to you. Yeah. And that's something to be thankful for. of course, I'm thankful for my family, for my wife, you know, and we've been married 6 years. It's been 6 years since I started sneaking around. Oh, no, wait. That was... Just kidding. No, the Lord's blessed me with a good mate, a good spouse. And any that are here not married, my advice to you would be to wait for the Lord, for the one that He has for you. I'm so thankful for the women that I did not marry. He just put my life in the right direction and led me to Natalie, and I'm just thankful for her. I'm thankful for our children, for Joseph, Matthew, and then this year, James. Thankful for that. Thankful that James was born well and with no complications. That doesn't just happen. Three times in a row, the Lord has given us a completely healthy delivery and baby, and all the children don't have any medical problems that I know of. But every day you hear about children that are fighting for their lives and having to live with conditions for the rest of their lives. The Lord's been good to us. Not for anything that we've deserved, but He's gracious and merciful. And I thank Him for that. And I thank Him for this church. I thank you. I thank Him for each member that He's put here together as one body in Christ, and for the fellowship that we have with one another. It would be enough to be just to be saved by yourself, but the Lord's given us all our brothers and sisters in Christ to be with us and to help one another, to enjoy one another. I'm thankful for that. And for the ways He's blessed our church. I mean, we've been praying for this new roof, and here it is. That's something we as a church are thankful for. We prayed, and, you know, if you asked us 2 years, are you going to have enough money to put this tens of thousands of dollars roof? No. But somehow the money came, and it was there, and now we have a roof.
Amen.
We have about as much in the bank as we did then.
Right.
So, about. So the Lord's done that, and we're thankful for that, and hopefully the Lord will continue to bless us. Of course, most importantly, the spiritual blessings the Lord's given to our church. You know, the church could just... This building could outlast the church. My prayer is that the church will outlast this building.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Thankful for our pastor, for bringing him here and the ways that he's helped us. And we have a very loving and attentive pastor, and he cares for us. And that's something to be thankful for. Not everyone has that. And of course, most of all, I'm thankful to the Lord for saving me, for sending Christ to die for me, a sinner, for even having to do with a sinful human like me, like we are.
Right.
He didn't have to do that. He, as I said, by all rights should have sent us to hell. The first time that I sinned, the Lord should have sent me to hell. But He has been, He was long suffering, and then He brought me to the preaching of the gospel. He caused me to be born to my parents. I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful that they and those that came before them, and on it goes, have brought them to church, brought me to church, brought me under the hearing of the gospel, and then the Lord allowed me to hear the gospel and gave me a conviction of my sin. You see, you even see children who were raised their whole lives in church and they don't have any sense of their sin. They did never come to understand what they really are before God. That could have been me. Didn't have to open my eyes to that. But He showed me my sin, granted me conviction, and gave me a real concern for my soul, and then showed me the Savior, Christ, in His Word, and brought me to trust in Him, to cast aside everything else I had been trusting in, cast aside all the human doubts and apprehensions, and just to trust in the person of Christ and His finished work. He is a real person, a real man, alive today, here with us tonight.
Amen.
And He's done everything that's necessary for salvation.
Amen.
It's He said it is finished. And I'm thankful that the Lord opened my eyes to that and caused me to rest in Him and what He's done. And if you're here and lost tonight, I pray that you'll see that the Lord will open your eyes. Seek the Lord while He may be found. And that's just the beginning of things we could be thankful for. But that's enough right now. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Stephen. All right, one of the ladies writes here, I'm thankful to the Lord for saving my soul, for my family and friends who have stood by me through the good times and the bad, for my church family, Brother Jim, Clarissa, and family, for making me feel welcome and loved. I'm so happy the Lord placed me in Olmsted Baptist Church. Thankful for the health the Lord saw fit to restore unto me. Thankful for a roof over my food and clothes. Thankful for the freedom to go to church. Thankful for the many blessings He has given me. Thankful for all the prayers He has answered for me. I just praise God that even though I have been through the dark valley, He has brought me through to the other side and set my feet on the mountaintop. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Another one of the ladies writes, I'm thankful for God sending down His only begotten Son to live and die and raise from the dead so that this undeserving sinner might one day enjoy the peace and contentment that only He can give. I'm thankful that Sister Elsie has regained good health and is able to enjoy singing in the choir and being in church regular again. I'm thankful the Lord called Sister Sarah Lightfoot home and she is no longer trapped in bed. I'm thankful Sister Dorothy's cat scratches were not from a rabies cat and that she is healing. I'm thankful for all our younger visitors that we've been having over the past year. I'm thankful we were able to continue our Creekwood Nurse Center home services and for all the people that show up for that. And thankful we were able to start a service at Hearthstone. Both services are a blessing. I'm thankful for those that have had surgeries and are doing better. I'm thankful for our missionaries, radio broadcasts, and mailers we are able to support. I'm thankful for the members who strive to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. I'm thankful for our men of the church who stand for what is right, give words of encouragement, and are willing to teach others. I'm thankful for the Sunday school teachers and our rotation. I'm thankful for the women of our church and their willingness to be faithful and give of their talents to support the church. I'm thankful for the children that come to my Sunday school class. I'm thankful for a pastor who cares and loves the members of our church. I'm thankful the Lord brought him to Olmsted Baptist Church. I'm thankful to live in the country. I'm thankful for all the wonderful brothers and sisters the Lord had waiting for us in Kentucky and Tennessee. I'm thankful to live in the United States of America. I'm thankful for the Lord's blessing upon our country. I'm thankful to those who have given of their lives so that we may have the many freedoms we do. I'm thankful my mom is on the mend from her severe pain she was having during the months of September and October. I'm thankful my dad was not having a heart attack back in September and is still cancer-free. I'm thankful that for the most part my parents are in good health and are able to still be very active and enjoy their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. I'm thankful for parents who strive to follow their Lord and keep Him center of their lives. I'm thankful for my husband's parents, and I'm thankful they were willing to move closer to us. I'm thankful for the work in their house was accomplished without a major injury. I'm thankful for those that helped with that project. I'm thankful my in-laws are moved into their house. I'm thankful they are still getting out and about. I'm thankful they are here to enjoy their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I'm so thankful the Lord saw us through our daughter's illness last year. It was the longest 2 months of my life. My Lord was there to give me grace for every trial, and knowing He was there and already knew the outcome was a great comfort to me. Nothing that we could physically do would fix her illness, and for a long time the health care providers did not know what was going on. But I am so grateful our God knew and delivered her back to health. It was a great encouragement for our brothers and sisters in Christ that visited and or called and said they were praying for us during this time. I'm thankful for the cards of encouragement that were sent to our family. I'm thankful the Lord has given me a husband and thankful for our 29 years of knowing each other. I was snooping around there for a while, wasn't I? I'm thankful the Lord put it on his heart to marry me 26 years ago. Smiley face. I'm grateful for our children. I'm thankful for the adults they have come to be. I'm thankful for our son-in-law and the way he cares for our daughter and their sons. I'm thankful for our grandsons. I'm thankful for the smiles they put on my face, for their sticky hands, sparkling eyes, their thoughts and quick thinking, and for all the noise they make, and for all the help, quote-unquote, they give me when we are together. I'm thankful for the beautiful days and the sleep he gives at night. I'm thankful for the plants he allows to grow and shares his vast creation with us. I'm thankful for my Lord and his sacrifice for me and daily loading me with benefits. I'm thankful he knows my frame and weakness, and without him I could do nothing at all. There are innumerable things that I do not know or cannot remember that he takes care of along with everyone else. And the Lord is good. I am thankful. Amen. All right. Well, Brother Jamie, you want a shot at it?
Remember what Brother Mark mentioned earlier about the outdoor plumbing. Remember, still having a great-grandmother living over in Beaverdam, Kentucky, and at one time her house, there was nothing but outdoor plumbing. So I myself, 34 years old, remember having to go outside just to use the restroom. So thankful for the Lord giving me salvation, and thankful for the Lord, most importantly, to continue to have me being used for whatever purpose, and all the being able to help out with the family financially, being able to have a job. This week really showing me that I still have one, for sure. All the big stuff going on there at this station, and I think the good Lord that is starting to do that might be able to help out our broadcast a little there. I'll go on and just mention it's still being talked about, but they're talking about streaming live full time over the internet, and there's talk about him probably. Boss probably purchasing a 94.1 FM station as well. But all that's work in progress right now. So far, everything seems to be getting green lights still to keep that going. And thank for the good Lord for pretty much let me be able to be used here, just coming in and sitting down. This is, I think, maybe the third time, I think. I had to do leading the singing. I had to do it last week. I had to do it this Wednesday. And I think the first night I had to take Kate to the emergency room, and Stephen couldn't make any time. I ended up doing that. So definitely thankful that good Lord says I'm far more important, just not just being here.
Thank you, Brother Jamie. All right. Another lady writes, first, I'm thankful to the Lord for keeping me alive until the time he has appointed he had appointed to save me. Then I am thankful for salvation and being added to the Lord's church. I'm thankful for my family and how good they all are to me. I'm thankful for a pastor that I feel free to go to when I need to. I'm thankful for all the pretty sunshiny days we have had this fall, and hope the Lord will bring them to my mind when dreary winter days come along. Amen. Last but not least, I'm thankful that I have a Savior that never lets me down, although I let him down from time to time. Amen. Well, lady, did I miss any of the ladies? You can show me your hand if there's anything. All right. I think you got it. You got all the brethren. All right. Well, I guess I get to wrap it up, right? A lot of things mentioned, and there's so many things that we could not exhaust everything that we are to be thankful for and that our Lord has given us. so many things mentioned by each one. The blessings of life and the blessings of family, a blessing to be born in this country. You know, there's a lot of people born in other countries that are just oppressed from the day of their birth. Born in this country, I'm thankful for my parents and that, you know, it was just that way. We're going to church. That's all I ever knew. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful for parents that the Lord had saved and put in His kind of church. You know, what a blessing that is to be near His kind of church. That's a blessing indeed. It's a great blessing to hear the truth, not only of the gospel, but of the Lord's work in His church. Thankful for provision, for right use of mind to be able to work and to provide and to freedom. You know, we don't have to check in with the government on where to live, how to travel about. You know, kind of, there's been times where we think, so, oh, you know, I would have liked to have been born so-and-so. Some like to say, well, I would have liked to have been born so-and-so. So many, I would have done better 100 years ago. You know where you and I do the best? Right where our Lord's put us. Not only in place and place, geography, family, has our Lord placed us, but also in time. And, you know, we live, we're the generations that could see the coming of our Lord in the clouds. How many generations have looked for that? And so years ago, the Lord helped me with a brother that was preaching, as talking to, and that he, you know, we are at the time that our Lord has put us, and we don't do well to long for something else. We need to enjoy and make the best of where our Lord's placed us, and seek His help and grace in that. Again, Salvation Church membership. There was a day that I didn't want anything to do with preaching. I just thought I'd seen all I wanted to see about that, and I wanted nothing to do with it, but I'm thankful the Lord called me to preach. Thankful that the Lord worked on me and called me to pastor. And this is what I'm supposed to be doing and where I'm supposed to be. I'm thankful the Lord used the church here to call me to be pastor, because that's what it was going to take. It wasn't going to be something that I would just do of my own. But the Lord did that and used the church here to do that. I'm thankful that the Lord has helped me and promises that He will help me, because that's the only way I can do anything that He's called me to do. Wonderful wife, loving wife, wonderful children, grandchildren, an expansion of our family. Stephen added to our family, you know, and the way that is, and then our grandsons. I would have never thought that I would have had grandsons back in 1985. I wanted to have a family, but to have grandsons, what a blessing that is. Parents and parents-in-law and brothers and sisters. I'm an only child myself, but I gained brothers and sisters when Clarissa and I married, and Brian and Debbie and Myron and Gerald and their children and grandchildren, all the family that we have. They're a blessing to us. All those things are those good things, those institutional things are blessings from our Lord, and just a wonderful thing. But the thing that I have been thinking about and considering about today and just musing about is the past year. You know, we rewind to this time in 2014, and we did the same thing. You know, we had a Thanksgiving service, and it wasn't going to be long from that our Lord carried us through Kate's trial, and that was very difficult. And you know, we praise the Lord that He healed her and that she is well. That's His blessing. It was impossible to us. I would never volunteer to go through that again. But it is true that it is in trial, and when we're squeezed and when we're burdened down in that kind of a way, that we do have a tendency to get nearer to our Lord, because we needed his help. And you know what? He heard and he answered and he helped. We were working blessed to be able to work with Stephen on their house, and that was a big project. And it was were many times I know he was weary, they were weary, and I would be weary at times helping them. But I'm thankful for the blessing to be able to do that, and that was a great milestone that we were able to accomplish, and I'm thankful for it. And then Mom and Dad moved here. Who would have ever thought that my dad would resign to moving to southwestern Kentucky? That was one of those impossible things, wasn't it? I mean, I told you as much. And those of you that had met him, you knew it was impossible. But our Lord worked on that. You know, we've really seen it. Not that the Lord hasn't done it in the past, because he has. But and I guess maybe it's just because it's fresh in our minds. But think of the things that we have as a church have prayed for that our Lord has blessed and answered in the past year. He has. He has done so. It occurred to me this past Sunday afternoon that he has been sending visitors. They're just shorter than what we expected. But he has. Amen. He has. You know, I was looking at around 5 foot. And, well, Bud, he kind of makes up for two of those. But you know, he has. And Sunday, looking out over the crowd, and you got little ones over here, and little ones scattered all over the place. And that's a blessing. And you know what? I pray, too, that the church outlasts the building. And it could very well be those little ones that are here. The Lord gets a hold of them, saves their souls, and convicts them about him, as well as others that are here with us and meet with us that we pray for, that the Lord would say. They well could be Olmsted Baptist Church in 30 years, 40 years, as our Lord tarries. But Mom and Dad, Kate's trial, Mom and Dad's move here, finishing up Stephen and Natalie's house, working on Mom and Dad's house. And I'm thankful to our Lord for helping in that. And not that that was, pardon me, a great project. It was just really the timing and the way we had to do it. It was a lot of work, but it wasn't like building one fresh. But the Lord blessed in that, and they're in there safe and sound. Miranda graduated from high school. James was born. And just the miracle of life, and to have another child born into the family, healthy and well. Natalie, healthy and well. James, healthy and well. What a blessing. My father-in-law, Cecil, turned 80. And, you know, 80's not looking too bad now, is it? When I was 20, I remember I would say, man, 40 is old. Whoa. Because yeah, that snapshot I had of my dad, and man, he's old, you know, and then turned around twice, and there I was, and now 50. Wow. Yeah, Cecil turned 80, and then 26 years of marriage to Clarissa. And our Lord has been good to us, so good to us. All those blessings, and as a sister wrote, you know, I kind of walked through a timeline of the year, but you know, all those blessings are great and wonderful, all in their place, you know, and it's like he's just so good to us. As a church, we've prayed, and I want to read a passage about that. We've prayed about things, and the Lord has helped, you know, and there's yet those things that we desire, and we don't need to quit praying that our Lord will work. In the spiritual realm, we have obedience that we're to obey in. Our Lord commands us some things and tells us some things, and we need to know those from his word that we might be obedient to him in it. But in this spiritual realm, it's our Lord that works. You know, we have responsibility indeed, but we need our Lord to work. We're the branches, And he's the vine. And we're to bear fruit that he might be praised. Fruit that will remain. But as he told us there in the book of John, without him we can do nothing. And then through these things, through the heartaches, through the hardships, through the trials, through the joyful times. If you have your Bible, I just a couple of passages. Colossians chapter 2. This is something, and different ones have mentioned about it, that how the Lord has blessed our church. And a couple of verses here in this second chapter of Colossians, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Colossae. Listen to what the Scripture says here in chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea. As he writes, he's telling his desire for them. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, he hears good word of churches and folks saved and churches established that he hasn't seen. He hasn't been part of that. Listen, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together. Being knit together. And you know, a church whose membership, hearts are right, and a church whose heart is right will be found knit together. And that's what we are. That's what our Lord's blessed us with. We are knit together. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, love for our Lord, love one for another, our Lord's love for us, and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. And a lot could be said about that. Knit together in love unto all riches of full assurance of understanding. You know, if you and I want this blessing of the Lord, we've got to come and be a part. And you're here. You're here on Wednesday night. I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. And the different ministries, the different things that the church has going on. As the brother mentioned, not all can do all things, but we can all do something. We can all do something. And that's what we need to find. And full assurance of the riches of the full assurance of understanding what the will of our Lord is, his word, and to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Is not this a mystery, how our Lord works this? We know about business and organization and how to make things and ship things and sell services and do business in the world and industry and commerce and all those things that exist. But I tell you what, all that stuff's going to, we use that and we work in that and we have that. But all that's going to burn up, and this is what's going to last. Think about it. This is what our Lord really cares about, is this being knit together. Amen? And that's what he cares about. And then we come down here to verse number 19, verse number 18 of this same chapter. Let no man beguile you, trick you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Okay, that strange doctrine that we read in that other passage. Will worship is another way that it's referenced in the Scripture. A feigned piety. You know, we can fake each other out, but service to the Lord is not about how we make one another feel about one another. You understand that? It's about truth and spirit and our Lord. Conviction. Not making you, not trying to cause you to think that I am religious. But it's about truth and sincerity. in the Lord and truth in the Spirit. Let no man trick you or beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, worshiping of angels, intruding to those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. We have seen some of that in the way that some would think a thing would need to go, but not looking at the Word of God. Listen. And not holding the head, capital H, that's Jesus, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, he nourishes us, we nourish one another in a sense, and knit together. I tell you what, it's great and it's a blessing of our Lord to be knit together in the Lord and his church. It is. It is. And that's a blessing from him. And that's what our Lord has blessed us and helped us with this year. Increaseth with the increase of God. Isn't that what you want to do? Do you desire that for our church? That we increase with the increase of God? We might have a mind, and we desire to see harvest. Who wouldn't? If their hearts being right, who wouldn't want to see sinners saved? I mean, we do. We pray. We've got those in our midst that we pray for and that need to be saved. But we need to have the estimation of what's real and right, that the what the Lord thinks, and the increase of God is what we need. And then I read here in Hebrews 13 at the beginning. I'll read verse number 5 again. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and in our life as a church this year, and those things that I listed in our family's life, he hasn't. He hasn't left us or forsaken us. He's helped us. When we were done, when what we had was spent, when our strength and even will, physically, emotionally, He then lifted us up. And what a blessing that is. And then lastly, Matthew 18. The Lord here speaking about some things to the church and operation of the church that he gives here to his disciples about how they're to deal with one another, right? The Lord, he expounds upon that. You know, we're to love the Lord with everything, heart, mind, soul, being, land. Love our neighbor as ourself. Well, he expounds upon the neighbor part of it in regards to we who are children of God in his church. And he talks here about church authority and responsibility in verse number 18 of Matthew 18. He talks about the binding of those things in earth will be bound in heaven. We've got a authority and responsibility to follow him and settle some things. We make judgments about some things. Yes, that's true. And he says in verse number 19, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. And again, we've asked. And our Lord is blessed. And it's easy for us to let that slip by, you know, but we've asked and he's blessed. And may we keep on asking. May we keep on thanking him too. Amen. And it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. What a great promise. Verse 20, for two or three are gathered together in my name. And this is not talking about what's the context. Well, it's church context. It's church context. That's what all these passages before have talked about. Not just two or three that are just... we have fellowship in the Word of God, and we have fellowship around our Lord as the children of God. But no matter how small or how large we are, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And he has been. And I praise him for it. And I'm thankful for it.